بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم، صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, last we had discussed the adab and etiquettes related to parents, and as we had mentioned, these etiquettes apply not just to the child who is living under the roof of his parents, who is dependent on his parents, but those of us who are now middle-aged, we may have children of our own, grandchildren of our own, and we have our parents still living at an advanced age, then these etiquettes, adab, the obligation of showing respect, of obedience to parents, applies to all of us equally. Inshallah, tonight we'll now commence the section pertaining to the etiquettes of training children, nurturing of children, the upbringing of children, which is a very vast topic. But inshallah, we will just read through a few of these points that Hazrat has mentioned in this kitab. And when it comes to the adab or the etiquettes related to children, many a times we realize and we understand the rights that our parents have over us. We may not be fulfilling these rights all the time, but in the back of our minds we understand. We know that my parents, I should show them the utmost respect. I should be obedient to them. I should listen to them, etc. But many people are under the impression that when it comes to my children, they are mine. I can do as I please with them. It is my decision, what I feel is best for them, or at least between the mother and father, husband and wife, the decisions that we make, and there is no other factors to consider. Ulama explained the rights of the child actually commence even before the child is born. In fact, even before the child is conceived, the first right of the child, ulama say, if we can understand it as such, is that when a person is seeking a spouse, that he looks for someone who will be a good parent to the child. So one of the intentions of marriage, a person is looking for a wife, this person will be a good mother to my children. Likewise, the other way around, the girl is looking for a husband, he will be a good father to my child. From then the right of the child commences. And then as soon as the child is born, we know after 7 days, it is mustahab that the child is named. So there again the right of the child comes into play. That it is his right or her right that I give him or her a good name. This is the right of the child. It's not just my decision or my choice, but this is something that I owe to this child. So here ulama explained that for us to understand, our children in our hands is actually an amanat. They are given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How when a person is using his own car, then he perhaps won't worry so much. Some scratch comes onto it, something gets damaged, it's his. He's answerable to no one. But if he's borrowed somebody else's car, it's not his, it's an amanat. Somebody gave him his car to use, he lent it to him. Then how much of care he takes? Nothing must happen to this vehicle. I must not damage it. I must not even dirty it. He'll tell his children also, make sure you clean your shoes before you get inside, because this is amanat. It belongs to someone else. So in the same way, if we adopt this mindset regarding our children, they are amanat in our hands. And therefore, we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the decision making of our children. What decisions do we make? What avenues, what lines do we put them in? How do we bring them up? This we will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, the first point that he mentions is something to do with basic guidelines, etiquettes regarded to safety, is that when a person is playing with a child, especially a young child, then playfully do not do any act with a child which may be a danger to his life or limb. As an example, in playfulness, do not fling a child in the air or hold the child suspended out of the window. So these are common things which sometimes in our enthusiasm to make the child laugh or to create some type of lightheartedness. So we do this with the child without realizing it's just a slip of the hand and great harm can come to the child. So these are generally regarded as aspects of common sense. But as they say, in today's time, common sense is not so common anymore. So we have to remind ourselves regarding these things that we should not at any time endanger the life of the child or the limb of the child. There are many people who have regrets regarding this, that we did not take care and we did something that was dangerous, and then something happened and now the child lost the limb, or the child, Allah protect, passed away, or the child was severely injured, and now lifelong that regret exists in the mind and in the heart of the parents. So that is the first point. Secondly, he then mentions a very, very important aspect when it comes to bringing up our children, and this is to always inculcate haya and modesty within them, shame within them. So do not speak shameless things in front of children. Teach them to act with shame, especially when answering the call of nature, etc. This is an extremely, extremely important point, especially in today's time when we have social media, we have the cell phone, etc. What do we expose our children to? As we know, exposure at a young age leaves such an impression, the child will never forget it later on. All of us seated here, perhaps, we can recall or we can remember, although it may be incorrect, but we can remember the nursery rhymes we learnt when we were in our early years, as children, young children. Whatever we learnt or we came across then stuck in the mind. And no matter how much we try and take it out, it's still there. Person wakes you up 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll be able to repeat those words and those lyrics. Because we heard it when we were 5, 6 years old. So whatever we expose our young children to will stick in the mind, stick in the heart. So when it comes to aspects of haya, of modesty, especially we find when it comes to the women folk, masturat, their dressing within the home, the mothers, sisters, sometimes the mother is breastfeeding the child in front of her other children, and that son now is coming of age, 7, 8, 9 years old, he begins to understand these things, and this becomes a means of curiosity in the mind of the child. Now he wants to learn more, and he wants to see more. Or sometimes we may be seeing something on our phones. It's incorrect, haram for us also. But even more care should be taken that this is not done in front of the children. And now they are exposed to things like this. When it comes to changing the young child also, the child should not just be made to now run across the room without a towel around him or without some clothing covering him, that now you came out of the bathroom, the other siblings are in the room, etc. From a young age, we put this into their mind. That this is your awra, your satar, this should be concealed. It should be covered at all times. The child grows up with this, then naturally that haya and that modesty will come into their heart. That's why the saying in Arabic, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْ. Such an important aspect of our lives. When modesty is lost, then do as you please. In other words, there's no boundaries, no limits any longer. And we can see what is happening, my dear brothers, around us, the world at large, and at what age these things are starting. Young children, boys and girls, speak to those who are involved in schools, in maktabs, madrasas, and we'll be shocked sometimes at what's taking place. Such a young age, we would never have thought this child, these things would have crossed his or her mind. But this is all as a result of exposure that takes place at a young age. Thereafter, as it mentions, when training children, do not be too strict or too lax. This is the golden standard, my dear brothers, that we are all trying to achieve, to strike this balance. Don't be too strict on them, that you break the child. At the same time, don't be so easygoing that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are broken. So this is something that even those with 3, 4, 5 children are still trying to strike that balance. But this much we can understand. When it comes to matters of dunya, yes, of course the child should be taught discipline, good habits must be inculcated, laziness must not be created, etc. But when it comes to things of dunya, then these things we can overlook to an extent. But when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is broken, there I will draw the line. As an example, ulama explained, the child does something wrong. He makes a mistake, he did the wrong thing, he said the wrong thing. So the parent should make it known to the child. Speak the truth and you won't be punished, we'll give you a chance. Show some remorse, show that you have learned from your mistake. But if you speak a lie, now this is a major sin. So the child already becomes accustomed to speaking the truth. No matter what I do, I can go to my parents, I can tell it to them, I can show it to them, and my father is understanding, my mother is understanding, I can trust them with anything. But if I break the command of Allah, I speak lies, I'm deceitful, I place the blame on somebody else, then I know I'm in for good hiding or discipline. So when it comes to these aspects regarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this we don't tolerate. But again, that this tarbiyah should be done with love. And ulama have explained, in today's time, if a person has to err on either side, rather err on the side of showing more love and affection to our children. Because if we do not show them love, the moment they step out of the door, there's 10 other people waiting to show them love. There's bad company waiting for them, the drug dealer is down the road waiting to show them love, there's some illicit relationship that they're ready to walk into. If we will not create that atmosphere of muhabbat, of affection, of gentleness, of acceptance within the home, then they will seek it elsewhere. They will look for it elsewhere. Then when the child is a teenager, now the parents are complaining. My child doesn't listen to me, doesn't want to come to me, is hiding things from me. We didn't create that environment within the home. So the incident is mentioned in Surah Yusuf. The story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sees that dream, Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba, the 11 stars and the sun and the moon, making sajda before him, the first thing he does, he goes to his father. Ya abati inni ra'aytu. Oh my father, this is what happened. We can imagine what that relationship must have been. How much of trust there was. That this is something strange, and the first person, not to his brother, not to his friend, not to somebody else, but he goes to his father. And how his father then advises him, and gives him the best advice possible. So don't be too strict, don't be too lax. Thereafter, inculcate in children the habit of refraining from asking any of their needs from anyone other than their seniors, like parents or grandparents. The children should know, a child by nature will try to get his work done. The father doesn't give him the sweet, he'll ask the mother. The mother doesn't give, he'll ask the neighbor. Neighbor doesn't give, he'll ask the grandparents. But we should teach them that there is a chain of authority. My parents come first. I ask them if I need anything. And more important than this, that we inculcate in them, that before asking even the parent, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say glad tidings to that mother who teaches the child, that your shoe is finished up now, you need a new shoe. You make dua to Allah to put it in your father's heart. Not that now we'll ask your father to buy it, or we'll go on the weekend, we'll go to the shop and get it, but we making that what we call imani mudhakara, teaching them now to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your father can't do it, your mother can't do it. So one day if the mother and father is not there also, the child knows Allah is still there for me. He grows up knowing I must ask my needs and my hajat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we may think, my dear brothers, that the child is too young to teach them these things. The way they're going to understand tawakkul, trust upon Allah, they're still a young child. But we're teaching them everything else. Sometimes just watch a young child, 5 years old, how he knows how to operate the cell phone. Unlocking it, he knows the password already, he saw his father putting it in, and which application to go to, he knows the settings. Sometimes better than the parents also. He knows exactly how to re-download the thing, and then how to delete it again. A young child. So they're learning all of this, we can't teach them the right things from a young age. As we mentioned, this will stick in their minds. Do not assume that they will automatically acquire manners when they will grow up. Inculcate good character to them from a tender age. We know the saying. We can't plant thorns or weeds and expect roses to grow. If we will tell ourselves they are too small, too young, then the time will come where that learning phase is over and the wrong habits are already in there. We mentioned before also, there is no vacuum in our lives. If the correct tarbiyat is not made, incorrect tarbiyat will be made. If we won't teach them the right things, then they will learn from the TV, from social media, from their friends, from those they see around them, and the incorrect teachings will come into their lives. So if a person does not do this at a young age, they will always behave unculturally and without thinking, thereby causing difficulty to others. Many people say they are still kids. Remember that habits inculcated in childhood are enduring. When your child has wronged someone or is at fault, never act partially. Do not side with the child, especially in his presence. To do so will corrupt his character. Those of us who are seated here will perhaps remember when you were much younger, if the child had to go to his parent and say that I did something wrong, and so musalli or so and so uncle gave me a hiding, and complain to his father, then possibly the father will give him another hiding also. That uncle was right in hitting you, why did you do the wrong thing? There was no tolerance. You did something wrong, you messed up, whoever it was disciplined you, he was right. Today's time, if that has to happen, the child has to go to the father and say that musalli or that uncle or so and so disciplined me, hit me. Now the two adults are fighting and the child is standing aside and laughing about it. So he gets away. So whether he is right or wrong, that's a separate discussion, and nobody should be oppressing, abusing the children of others. But we do not at any time show the child that you did something wrong and I'm going to take your side. You've got to own up for what you did. And especially this point is very, very important, my dear brothers, especially in our society. We find ulama constantly remind us of this when it comes to respect, especially with regard to our domestic workers. The treatment of domestic workers we find unfortunately. They come from a disadvantaged background. And then what we're paying them and what we're expecting them to do, and worse than that, is a young child now treats that worker as though it's his worker. That you, my father is employing you as though I have employed you. And you hear sometimes the young children will just call that person by their name. At the end of the day, she might be double his age or triple his age, old enough to be his mother. But he's just calling her by her first name, no term of respect. And then he tells her what to do, whether it be those working for us, our staff, whoever it may be, some beggar who comes also. So parents will see the respect and the akhlaq shown, or the children will see the akhlaq shown by the parents. How we treat them, that's how our children will be. So we should inculcate this within them. The person at home is not our maid or our servant. He's a helper. They're here just to help us. It's not that now I can just make a mess and expect them to clean up behind me. Or I can just speak to them anyhow. Or shout them. Or call them by their first name. The parents should discipline the child for this. Because Hazrat explains here also that worker, perhaps due to his or her circumstance, won't complain. I need this job. But within the heart, they will make dua against that child. And da'watul mazloom, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the dua of an oppressed person goes directly to Allah. There's no hijab between Allah and that dua. So that dua will be the bad dua of that oppressed worker against the child. This will now be a cause of difficulty for the child later on in his life. So we be careful with regard to this, that they have utmost respect for those who are elder than them, senior than them. And then one last point Hazrat mentioned, two last points. One is with regard to punishing the child. This is, again, many people ask, how do we discipline our children? Do we hit them? Do we shout them? To what extent? So ulama explain, just 3 points for us to take note of. Lengthy discussion, but just 3 points. Number one is that don't ever punish or hit them in anger. This is very, very common, especially the mothers at home. Fathers also. But now because the children are around the mothers the entire day, and they're running amok, they're not listening, the mother herself is frustrated, we don't blame her also, but in that state of anger now she lashes out at the child, or hits the child, or shouts the child, sometimes we are now punishing them more than what they had done. And that is zulm, that is oppression. Again, we'll be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first golden rule ulama say, is that wait for my anger to calm down. If I have to walk away, leave the child for that time, later at night when I have calmed down, I have control over my emotions, now it's time to discipline the child. Then also, we give the child at least 3 chances. You did this, explain to him or her that this was incorrect. You should not have done this. Second time again. Third time, now the parent has the right to lightly discipline the child. And then also, ulama have explained very clearly that if we have to hit the child, it should not leave any bruises, any marks. And we don't hit on any sensitive part of the body. So we're not there to hurt the child, harm the child. It's there as a disciplining measure. That the child understands that I did something wrong and I should not do it again. We're not there to break the child, take out my anger. How you scratched my car, you dropped my phone, you broke the phone. Now I'm taking revenge for my own self. It's not with the best interest of the child at heart. So that's with regard to disciplining the child. And the last point, Hazrat Tanwir rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned at the end of this section, many other points that he mentions, but one important discussion that comes is he says, with regard to our general outlook, what avenues do we put our children into? He says, many parents are only worried about the worldly progress of their children, as far as their dunya is concerned. My son must make it, my daughter must make it, they must be successful. He says, akin to fattening a cow, that the cow must just become as fat as possible. And the greater the bank balance, the more valuable this child is. So Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi very nicely puts it across. He says, we know the end result of a fattened cow is the slaughterhouse. He'll be the first one to be slaughtered. There's not going to be any benefit in his life. So in the same way, we should not only focus on the bank balance, what's their earning power. My son's earning power, now he made it, alhamdulillah. Yes, that is important also, it's necessary. But first and foremost, when it comes to inculcating deen within them. We mentioned this point before, that understand this, my dear brothers. On the day of Qiyamah, I will be standing there. I'll have my dependents, my wife, my children. It should not be that they are the first ones who hold my hand and say, he gave us everything of this world, he didn't give us our deen. So when we wanted new shoes, we wanted our stationery, we needed our education, we needed a car, we needed this, that. He gave it to us, but he didn't make an effort. Now my Quran wasn't right, my masail weren't right, my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't right. I didn't even know the rights of Allah upon me. He didn't worry too much about that, my dressing, my interactions with others. That was secondary. My dunya, he gave it to me. It should not be they hold our hands and say he's to blame. He was the shepherd of the flock, and he didn't put the right teachings across to us. So all it, this is a mindset change. That we understand our children are our investments, and this investment will pay dividends even when we are in the qabr. When our eyes close, everything else comes to an end. Now the child is reading Surah Yasin. I taught him, alhamdulillah. I sent him to the madrasa, I paid for it. I dropped him off in the morning, in the afternoon. That's my investment. Now when my eyes close, I'm reaping the rewards and the benefits. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله